Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to the Sunday edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and also being simulcast on Shake and Wake Radio. We are a viewer-supported station, folks, so if you like what PRA is doing, please hit the donate button. And thanks to Annie for what she's doing to bring this show out in her network. Today I'm joined by a lady who describes herself as an Alberta redneck. So whatever that, wherever that's going to go, we're going to go there. But I was introduced to this lady through a mutual friend and had a couple conversations with her. And, you know, Tina's not a high-profile radio host or anything like that. She's just a really, from my conversations with her, I find her to be a really down-to-earth person. And we share a lot of the same thoughts and concerns. But we're going to talk about today is we're going to get into talking about Wi-Fi, and then we're going to get into talking a little bit about 5G. We can start off with the conversation about Wi-Fi. I admit many, many times on my radio shows that I'm no expert in anything. I look at so much stuff. It's really hard for this old brain to comprehend it all and retain it all. That's why I like getting in people that really kind of have a pretty good idea of what they're talking about. And that's where we're going to go today. But really, I kind of looked into Wi-Fi and the new systems that are coming online and just the fact that they want to operate these systems at 60 gigahertz. It absolutely kind of boggles my mind exactly what's going on. But that's a deep rabbit hole, and we're going to get into it today. Welcome to the show, Tina. And can you tell people a little bit about your background besides being an Alberta redneck? And welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Barry. Yeah, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. Like you were saying, you know, I'm just an Alberta citizen. I'm always cared very much for this country and for the province and, you know, the lives that we've been able to have. And over the last few years, there has been some drastic changes towards the technological advances. Now, with my career, my background is farming. I grew up central Alberta, hog and grain farm. I was very much involved with everything from unions and groups, political groups, very much extracurricular activities and everything as well. We were very, very active, volunteer organizations, everything like that growing up. Strong community presence. And then I ended up going back to school when I was 28, date myself here. For soil and water conservation through the Olds College, which is a diploma post-secondary degree. And from there, I got involved with the oil field. So for the past, since basically 2002, sorry?
Go ahead.
There was just an echo there. But so since 2002, I have worked with my head down, going out feeling that I was, you know, making a difference and doing what I could for the environment, because what I've ended up as is an environmental specialist running my own company. And I've worked right from pre-construction to post-construction on oil and gas pipelines, drilling rigs, emergency spill response has been the main thing across Western Canada. And I'm up until the last few years, you know, I've seen systems and the whole scheme of things change over the years from the individuality to corporations taking over and those decisions being put into those corporate hands as opposed to the citizens. And my biggest concern with everything is that our voices are being lost. So in the last few years, as I've seen these programs rolled out, especially across the province, the biggest thing, of course, the eyesores are the ones that come out are these 5G towers that are being installed. And then so I start doing research because I also start noticing, you know, it's a tough topic to discuss with people because the education system and the health service sectors and that have not been discussing. I mean, this stuff is being done without our knowledge. Without our consent and without any information that they're being rolled out, but like I'll just put it out there, the geoengineering that's occurring, all of these programs are all tied in together. Mm-hmm. But the main one that I have found, because the results of what we've seen with these programs, what I have seen across this country, last year I was in Ontario quite often, and I was working on locations from Saskatchewan, Alberta, BC, and even up into the Northwest Territories. So being able to have my feet on the ground and seeing similar injuries and results, I guess, from the same conditions across the country were alarming to me. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking at what could be causing those issues. And, I mean, I collect, you know, soil and water samples. I've been doing assessments my entire life. And the anomalies that are being out there are not anything that is being addressed. So everything can be tied in together. But these 5G towers are basically, to me, the center of the logistics that are being implemented right now. And the exposure levels, the more research I started doing on the 5G, then that led me to doing more research on cell phone use and Wi-Fi's frequencies, radiation exposure, and long-term effects on those issues. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where you would like to start, but we can discuss any or all.
Of course, the government would never roll out any of these programs without doing massive long-term studies on the possible health effects on the human being. I mean, they wouldn't do something like that, would they?
Well, you know, the disheartening part of all of it, though, is that the studies, the information, the science, and the research is all there. But lo and behold, they've just stopped releasing the information. They've just stopped saying that they're doing the studies, right? So even with the 5G, with the frequency exposure, radiation exposure, in the 50s, they knew that. In fact, I had somebody, I'm just going to pull it up here quick, but I had somebody just tag me on a mem, and it was quite representative of what we're speaking of. But basically, these studies have been occurring, you know, since the 50s. And so let me just read this real quick. It says, wireless manipulation of the human brain was first achieved in 1950s by Dr. Jose Delgado, who was a renowned professor at the psychology of Yale University. Using electromagnetic fields, Dr. Jose Delgado was able to alter the electrical signals in the brains of humans and animals. He could wirelessly induce different moods like apathy, depression, mania, sleepiness, and even aggression. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jose Delgado was employed by the Office of Naval Research and worked on Project MKUltra for the CIA. Officially declassified CIA documents discuss using Delgado's technology for political control. So that was 70 years ago. Mm. So where are we at now, right?
Really? Question I don't even want to ask, man. You know, the thing about Tina, that really, what really gets, for me, I'm a pretty simple guy, not much of an education in school, and I kind of look at everything with common sense approach. And for me to even, I started really looking into this week and spent quite a bit of time doing some research on it. And it absolutely boggles my mind what they're going to roll out on us and how it's going to impact the human body, how it affects our very cell structure, our absorption of oxygen. We know that our bodies are a frequency. And this coupled with the RFID chip that now is being brought in very, very quickly. And we couple that with everything else. It's a huge equation of an orchestrated attack on the human mind and the soul, but it's coming at us from multiple directions. And we could talk about nanotechnology, what they're doing with chemtrailing. We could talk about what they're putting in our vaccines, the fact that fluoride is so widespread use in our communities. People think it's only in our water, but we're getting fluoride from we're getting it from multiple different avenues through our food and everything else. That, our bodies are taking in such massive amounts of chemicals. Then we start researching these chemicals and we find out the effect on the body. Guess what? Fluoride opens up portals in your brain to allow heavy metals to perpetrate the blood barrier in your brain. That's a medical fact, and it's widespread in our community. Now, all this stuff is, the rabbit hole is so deep that it really, really, for me to try and even get to the bottom, I get halfway down and I'm confused. But, it is overwhelming. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I know that, like with myself, I guess that there was a slowdown. Quite honestly, I had a pretty good burnout from work here a few years ago. And just to get myself through that, I did nothing but focus on, juicing and trying to get myself back. Basically, I lost my balance. I lost the ability to even retain information. I was wasted. I just worked myself to the bone. But so over the last few years, I've always been a person that, throughout my life, I've slept, every once in a while, like every couple of weeks or whatever. Okay, I sleep 8 hours a night. But it was get up in the morning, go, high energy, high mobility. This is me, right? I go, go, go. The last few years, there has been a real, and this is what has made me look at the 5G, because I have a tower that's, a few hundred meters outside of my house. And I found a real big drop in my concentration. I got, my anxiety would increase. And there's different types of symptoms for electro hypersensitivity that are out there. And they range from, headaches that progressively get worse, eye strain, facial flushing, ringing and buzzing of ears, nausea, dizziness. I can provide you with links to all of this info after the conversation here. But I had basically all of those symptoms. And so then I started looking into a lot of the other things. And then I'm like, well, I think that I'm actually being exposed to all of these things. So this is a health concern for myself. Plus, with the job that I had, I mean, you know, when I am spending over 3,500 minutes a month sometimes on the phone and in your vehicle with your Wi-Fi turned on and in a lot of areas where there are probably potential frequency, higher levels of frequency, you can't get away from that exposure. Mm. And the more research that you do, the more you can link all of this stuff together. But unfortunately, because our education system and everything has been so meticulously laid out, they've been removing, just like changing history, they've been removing access to the data for years so that people will deny. And then, you know, they introduce the term conspiracy theorist as opposed to listening to a theory and facting it out and seeing if it actually exists. People jump up and call you crazy and point fingers and call you names and call you down. And mm-hmm. then you end up with no friends, you know, kind of thing. Right. And
we've
you see
all
a
experienced
lot.
That.
Oh, especially in the last couple, 3 years. Right. Like, mm-hmm. but I actually don't really care too much because I think it's really important that somehow we change the conversation and we get people discussing these issues because they are affecting their lives. And I can tell you, and as anybody else can too, that these technologies that are rolling out are tied in with our programs because now all of a sudden, why is it that we have all of these towers going up across the country? We've got this mass influx of population, but we also have all these policies being rolled out for mental health behavior because mm-hmm. they know that the exposure levels that are hitting us in these, mostly the urban areas, but they have got them everywhere across the country right now. The exposure that we're getting are creating the anxiety. They're increasing PTSD. They're increasing depression. They know that with society is going to withdraw and stop caring because it's affecting the mental behavior of people, which will only allow them to give them an advantage over succeeding with the program.
You know, they put out that movie Zombie Apocalypse. How many years ago was they put that movie out? And, you know, everybody laughed and went, yeah, hey, this is entertainment, man. This is pretty funny. Boy, I'll tell you, are we getting close to that, Tina? It's like, but they love doing that. They love putting it in front of our face. You know, we call it entertainment.
But I know, but you know,
guess what?
The hard thing is once you have that point of view and once you're able to look at things beyond what you're being told, I mean, I watch the news for entertainment to see what kind of lies they're telling us or what kind of bias they're putting into our heads. They may sometimes, it's kind of like to me listening to Trump. He says it in a way that he implies one thing or another. But when you understand, I think I understand what is kind of occurring globally, it's easy to see that they're just playing the game and they're beating them at their own game. And you watch the news, like for example, a little off topic, but population. We look at the UN migration pact that's going to be coming through here, and that's going to be the demise of the country, literally, right? And I know it's horrifying. I am fairly positive that the last $300 million that went towards M103 will be implemented to inject Sharia law into the country immediately after. He's got control of the media now. They've got full control of everything. And when you watch the news last night on, I think it was Global, I was watching. What did they announce? Oh, that we've got a 10 and a 12% population increase of babies. Now, why is that newsworthy, first of all? How is that that number being achieved? Because what I have found over the years of working in the industry that I've worked in is I have seen consistently, especially for the last decade when I started running my own company and actually looking after every aspect of these jobs, especially with the remediation contamination side of things, and then looking at what the education system is injecting into the programs, and I find that they have pigeonholed a lot of the information. It's fantastic. They've specialized. Now we've got wetland specialists, we've got water specialists, we've got biological, you know, biologists, and there's a specialist for everything out there.
You got a specialist to look after all the specialists too.
Oh, well, and then you've got the specialist looking after all of them, right? it's wealth redistribution. Here we go. So, But we've got all of these specialists. But the problem that I have seen over the years, especially on government programs, like I was on Site C there for a while, and I've worked on, you know, some fairly large pipeline projects on the upper level management side, that none of these people really talk together. It's like a revenue creation, especially when it comes to an insurance claim. There are simple ways to justify and to mitigate everything, but that you have to focus at it from the ground level. If you're focusing it from the top management, you're not going to have all your little specialists, all your divisions, and be creating that much revenue. So if you simplify it, you're cutting out half the workforce. So it's a revenue-driven, economical-driven mentality with the ideologies. Plus, they're starting to follow just numbers, which basically, when they formulate those numbers within theoretical summaries, they're forcing you to look at only one direction. We are no longer allowed to be free thinkers on what potential is also occurring. We're no longer looking at, they tell you what contributing factors you should be taking in and using as a diagnosis, as opposed to saying, well, in this situation, we've also got this happening here. Mm. So that's what I find that the biggest issue is right now, is that you look at any of the information that the province has out on 5G technology, on your cell phones, on Wi-Fi, they're not providing us with any safety regulations, mitigations, awareness, any information. There are no current studies going on to back up and prove that exposure levels cause these results. The World Health Organization, which now is regulating Canadian health and operated under the UN, stopped studying frequencies in 2011. They said at that time, it is a cancer-causing, yes, it is a possible carcinogen, but we need to do further research.
I didn't know that they'd stopped studies on that. That's news to me. But then if they have, then they're tied to the UN. That explains it all. It really is, for some people that haven't heard about all this, you know, if I sat down in a coffee shop and tried to explain what we're talking about right now to some of the people that I have conversations with on a regular basis, they would really think that I'm a nut. They think I'm a nut already, but they would really think that I'm a nut. But you know what? The good news is that a lot of these people that thought I was a nut 4 or 5 years ago are really starting to pay attention. So there is people out there that are listening, and there's some that are never going to hear it, Tina.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And that's where I kind of feel that, you know, if for the people that want to listen, for the people that actually have some concerns about their health or can actually take some of the information, and, I mean, there is too much data out there. People have lives. People have jobs. People have families. I've just been blessed, in a sense, that I've had time. I've been down with, you know, without work here and there. You know, I work for a month or two, and then I've got a month off kind of thing. And so I'll spend a lot of time just researching because this stuff intrigues me. I find it fascinating. Mm-hmm. But other people have very busy lives. So for them to sit down and actually start taking in some of this information, you cannot sit down for a half an hour a day and read anything that comes across to you and fact it out and know that it's theoretical, know the information that you're getting is actual, and understand it, because there is misinformation everywhere we go. You go into our government websites right now, and it looks like you're reading a children's novel. The way that they have the information presented is beyond disturbing. I mean, I'm horrified by it. You know, 15 years ago, I could go onto the internet. It's like a comic book. This is what we're going to do.
I guess they figure they're trying to reach people now at their mental levels. I don't know, man, but
the dummy down of society, it is happening, man. I mean, all you have to do is go onto a government website. There's no accountability for anything. They're like, oh, yeah, no, we're testing the air. It's all good. Nothing else.
Yeah, they don't tell you where they're testing,
how they're testing, what they're considering, what the results are. They're just, it's good. Piss off. I'm sorry. Excuse my English. But seriously, I'm supposed to sit here and listen to you. It's like listening to Notley and going, oh, yes, you're right. You're going to keep fighting for those pipelines. Mm-hmm.
Hey, okay. Mr. Fox, come over and watch this chicken house for me, would you, buddy? And I trust
and bring your...
you. Look like you're an honest looking fox. So, and you told me you wouldn't do anything wrong, and you bring the balance of the budget in 2 years.
Well, if you've ever seen Trump did, I you just have to Google it, but I had showed it to somebody here recently a while ago when Trump recites the poem about the snake. You know, where the snake is basically it looks like he's suffering and whatever, and the lady saves him and takes him into her home. Well, the snake ends up biting the lady, and she's like, why? And he's like, well, you know, I was a snake when I let you into my when you let me into your house. Duh. What'd you expect?
Just because you put a little lipstick on me doesn't mean I'm not a snake, man.
No, it's and because you said it so sweetly, and because you told me I could trust you, and you told me that you were there for the right reason, so I believed you.
We got to laugh at it, Tina, because of the insanity of everything that we see going on. The fact that, you know, I ask myself a question every day is, what is it going to take for the common Joe Blow, six-pack Canadian, the beer drinker goes home? I mean, they have a life. They're both working now just to keep the roof over their head. They've got busy, busy lives. They come home at the end of the day. They're burnt out. They just want to sit down, watch, click on the TV. And, of course, they watch CBC, or they'll put on a hockey game, drink their beer, go back to work the next day. What's going to take for that person to actually wake up? Because the information now, man, is so in our faces about what's going on in our country. And I mean, just in the last week, Tina, just in the last week, with $600 million being given to outlets, media outlets in the country, that the government is going to oversee who gets the money. I mean, they basically have bought free, they ended free press in Canada. And people just don't get it yet. This is like, people should be marching on the street and screaming at the top of their lungs right now. And then add to the equation that Trudeau stood up and we are going to 100% sign on to the United Nations Mass Immigration Pact. Boy, I'll tell you, if this doesn't get the country up in arms and ready to go to the street, I don't know what it's going to take, Tina. I don't. I'm asking myself.
I am quite concerned. When I look into, like I said, I'm a geek. So I go into legislation, I go into bills, I look at the amendments, I look at policies, I look at everything from the health to the stability to the security to the cell phones, the Huawei that's coming in, the letters of concern that have been written to the Trudeau government on do not deal with Huawei. You're talking cybersecurity, you're talking weaponization, you are talking bad things, very bad things, do not. And now we've got Huawei all over the place and everything is all happy-go-lucky and, oh, this is a great phone and get this, don't touch the smart anything. Smart meters, smartphones, smart cars. Until we understand what technology is being used against us, stay away from it, you know. And I think the biggest thing right now is to just to expose people a little bit to some of this stuff, because it is such a massive, massive rollout and we're getting it from every single angle. And when it's also affecting our, when they've got systems in place that are affecting our thinking behaviors and our mental health, we actually have to be aware of that and question how or why we're thinking the way that we are, because there is possibly something else that's making us go that direction. If the person is finding themselves highly depressed or really over anxious, don't go and talk to a shrink and don't go and talk to some student counselor that's going to be like, oh, well, you know, we're going to have to drug you.
Or we have something for you. You know,
don't get me going on pharmaceutical drug, because we'll get going for an hour on that one alone. But hey, my producer wanted to ask you. Listen, honestly, I'm just, this, like I said, folks, this is the first time that I've actually had a real good conversation with Tina. But when I did have my first conversation with her, I got a really good feeling. And I'm sure we're going to carry on lots of conversations in the future here. But meanwhile, my producer wanted to ask you a quick question here, Tina. So,
yeah,
Steve, what's your question?
Yeah, hi, Tina. I was wondering if you know about targeted individuals, TIs.
Targeted individuals?
Yes.
I'm aware that there are targeted individuals. As far as specific results information that I've seen, I know there are guys. I did some research here a few months ago with the MKUltra, and there was a list of people with their emails and that they were apparently targeted within that program across this country.
Do you know anything? Do you know anything about the tech involved? Technology?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I keep on trying to think of solutions, as opposed to, you know, when you see a problem or something of this size, I try to think about how we can protect people, right? How we can protect the public and how we can try to get some mitigations and control so that we can maybe take a step outside of the plan and protect ourselves, and the rest of that information will probably come in as, you know, as you look forward, right? But where I'm at right now, I'm kind of trying to figure out the best way to impose awareness and let people make some better decisions.
Yeah, I think that's a monumental task for us, Tina, because The media is completely quashing any information about all this stuff that's coming up there. It just, you will never hear, or very, very seldom hear anything on any mainstream media about the potential dangers of all this stuff that they're newfangled gadgets that they're rolling out on society. So for us to get this information out to people, you know, we're talking here, sure. There's people in this room right now that are hearing it. But, boy, I'd like CBC to give me the mic for about an hour one night so we could reach the people sleeping on their couch, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Give them a little slap because they need it. Go ahead.
No, I just where I'm at right now, I guess I've kind of got myself in a position where I've got, you know, my soul has been taken by the industry that I've been working for. My passions aren't necessarily towards that direction anymore because I really feel that there is, you know, there's a big red flag waving above this country right now. And unless we can take it upon ourselves to start to introduce ideas into people's heads that there are some concerns and we have to give the power back to the people. It's not, I mean, our representatives, God bless them all. Well, not all of them, but their hands are tied, right? There is nothing that they can do. The only thing that can happen right now is to get the information to the people. We know that the media is not an option. We know our social media is going to get lost. It's going to be disconnected. It's going to be however they determine or deem to start shutting us down. They've been practicing on throwing people in jail. They've been practicing on all kinds of different little things. If you're aware of the silent warfare document, there's different strategies that they can implement to figure out how to roll out the programs. And that's basically just, you know, oversized studies on cause and effect. So they, give a strike on the postal workers, and then they look for shock effects. They, you know, possibly, we have to consider it. It needs to be considered. They contaminate our food, or they contaminate some livestock. Biological warfare, bio warfare, bioterrorism, I guess, is what you would talk about with animals. They don't say it's that with us because they do it all the time. But when it comes to like beef and livestock, you look at the southern Alberta where they had, you know, tuberculosis come through the herds there. CFIA interjected. There's media bans, publication bans. Vets were not allowed to be injured. Their local vets were not allowed to assist the farmers. Nothing made it make sense. They didn't clean out the tuberculosis and all the herds and the wildlife. They just came and extracted and disposed of all the cattle and shut the farmers down. Now, recently, I also heard that there was a tuberculosis outbreak identified in BC. So are they going after one of the largest beef producers that's out by Kelowna that sells all this beef to Walmart? Is that, I don't know where that tuberculosis got found, but that would be the first thing in my head, is one of the largest producers there would be the next to be taken out. All of this stuff, everybody's like, ooh, you know, oh, that's really too bad this happened, and that's too bad this happened. But if the media was to tell us accurately what's going on across the country, we'd be like, this is really unnatural. Why is it that why are seniors passing away or getting really sick after their vaccinations and flu shots? Why are people doing that? How many children are being affected from the shots that they're giving them now? What about, you know, it's just, you could go on and on for days. How many farmers are seeing a huge loss in vegetation? Trees that are dying, breaking down, blowing over in the wind, busting off at the roots, completely unnatural because of the heavy metal contamination that's in the atmosphere. It's drying them out from the inside out. Plus also, it's a fire starter. So you want to wonder why we have massive snow. And within a month later, those compounds pull the precipitation out of the ground, create a drought-like effect, and suddenly we've got massive. So there is actually drought conditions, but why is everything lighting up, and why are the trees so brittle and so dead? If they're green and healthy, they shouldn't be burning like this. So a lot of people would jump up, you know.
It doesn't matter. You know, that's what blows me away is that society accepts everything that we see going on as the new norm.
It's because they've been trained to believe the first guy that speaks, and they've been trained to believe science. So it's by no fault of their own.
And of course, they're not getting accurate information about anything really that's going on out there right now. And I think, you know, if media was actually responsible for what was being reported, and they weren't controlled, and stuff was brought forth in 24 hours, if everything that you know and I know and other people that are involved in speaking the truth about stuff we feel we know about was exposed on CBC, you would see riots in the street. You would literally see riots in the streets. the media is so complicit in what's going on in our country. And now, of course, the Trudeau government has taken a page out of the Mein Kampf. I think it's page 330, and they're going to completely control media in Canada. I mean, what's going to be next, guys? How far does this government have to go before Canadians stand up in mass? There is some cool stuff going on, though. There is some cool stuff going on, Tina, pushing back against
this.
Yes,
there is a lot of positive things. It's just very easy to talk about the negative, isn't it?
Yeah, let's talk about the positives, because I am involved with a group that now has got lawyers, like very, very prominent lawyers involved. And it's going to the attorney. I mean, there's a lot to this. I'm actually going to be talking to the head honcho that's behind this organization tomorrow night. I'm going to have a conversation with her about exactly the legalities of everything that's involved. But we are being presented with a legal way to shut our government down. And that is exciting. And it is gaining momentum. So I'm going to look into it. I'm going to look into it a little bit more. What's your feelings on it? You know what I'm talking about, eh?
Yeah, absolutely, I do.
Bring us up to date on that from your perspective.
Well, from my how do you want me to get into it?
Well, no, I've looked at it a bit, and I've read the moratorium, and I just want to get your views on it.
I don't know if I've read the moratorium. I've been taking in so much information here the last few days. I just know that the general, I wanted to wait until we actually had some more information that was more concrete. Mm-hmm. So if it's going to be coming out tomorrow, then that's when I'll kind of listen to where they're at. And I know that I have requested or asked to speak with them, because I really feel that the support that they need with that direction that they're going after a civil lawsuit, can be supported from each province. So it would be a matter of getting people like myself to, and this is something that I've got a few people that I'm going to put it in front of here just to kind of go through and get our thoughts on, but all of these things that we are dealing with on the ground level, it's a big network, right? Mm-hmm. As you know. So if we can go to different individuals and create a common conversation, create some common grounds, and discuss how their lives have changed or been impacted in the last few years, and see if there's anything that they can give us that would link back to illegal possession, back to unlawful possession, illegal possession on behalf of what the activities are that are occurring and being forced upon us. Basically anything that the government is doing outside of their realm and outside of their legislation. And there's hordes of it. But I believe that if we're able to do that on a provincial level and be able to get into people's homes, set up some basic questionnaires that we can expand from there, set up some classes with different interfaces, and go and get this information from people to kick things off, and then provide that information as further backup or for further investigation for the federal government, because within our province here, we can only go to our ministers within those different sectors. And if there's any former lawsuits, we are not able to actually go after them after the decision, but we can go after them for wrongdoings. Or what I would like to say, there's got to be a loophole there too that we can go after for incomplete investigation, for not considering the other information that was there, only looking and focusing on one direction of the information.
Right. So it'd be I'm going to be paying very, very close attention to this. And like I said, I'm going to be having a conversation tomorrow night. And I'll find out exactly what I want to know about this and how much validity it has. Because right now, Canadians, hundreds of thousands of Canadians are looking for a mechanism to put a stop to Justin Trudeau. And I'm not exaggerating. For my listening audience, I'm not exaggerating what I'm saying. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Canadians now realize that we are in for the fight of our life right now.
Yes, and that is the silent majority, and that is what we need to get their voices out and heard. And if we can get those people together without affiliating any of our current representing parties, because their hands are tied, but we need to somehow be able to organize ourselves and get this information so that it can be used to make progress and to move forward and get us out of this situation that we're in right now. Because where we're at right now, especially within the next month, if that goes through, I'm just horrified about it. You know, we somehow have to get people on the road and get letters written and petitions signed or something, right?
Well, I'm sure in the next week or two, you're going to see mass petitions launched. And we're already seeing it now, and we're seeing the increase in signatures. I'm following a few right away. Maxime Bernier put out a petition right away, and it's growing exponentially in signatures. I think the Canadian public, this is something that everybody, even on my page, my pages where I'm posting stuff all the time, that I've made little comments that, I've posted a few articles on this, and I've asked people, you know, to please, please take, 10 or 15 minutes of their time, because I've stated to them that this is one of the most important issues that we need to deal with right now. We have to take it on. We have to nip this in the bud. If this goes forward, our country is going to be done. It's going to legalize illegal immigration. And that
our race
something,
is going to be done.
Oh, we're done. Well, my God, folks. Just
we will be obsolete within a decade.
we're talking on a network that's overseas right now, and I'm being produced by a gentleman in America, but it doesn't matter where you look right now. We're seeing the same agenda being played out. And really, one only has to look at France right now and Germany and England, anywhere where mass immigration has taken place, and you look at the state of their society right now, and that's what's going to come to Canada if this is allowed to go forward. We still have the window of opportunity to stop it. We do. We have to believe that. We you know, and anything that's going to be a legal avenue, I was told in private that there is some very prominent lawyers involved in this point. So obviously somebody is funding this pushback against the government. And all I can say is we need everybody to go down to their courthouses right now and file charges of treason against Justin Trudeau, because the evidence of treason in Canada, if the RCMP were actually doing their job right now in Canada, then Justin Trudeau should, by all terms, be in jail for treason against the Canadian people.
Do you not feel that we should be, as citizens within a province, filing treason against our provincial leaders, and then that can be taken by the federal government?
Well, the whole systems are corrupt from the top to the bottom, provincially, federally. It doesn't matter where you look. It's all corrupt. And starting at home is the best answer to any problem. You know, all solutions, I believe, come from grassroots movements. But what I see right now in Canada, you know, I'm 64 now, and like, you're a few years younger than me, but what I've seen right now, it's just appalling me, man, that Canadians aren't screaming. Why? Of course, we know why, but why isn't the CBC really laying it down to Canadians, the implications of this pact that Trudeau wants to sign us on? He doesn't have the authority to do that. Whoever gave our prime minister the authority to sell away our country? If this doesn't come to an end, well, let's just see where it goes. But this is the scariest thing that I've ever seen in my years in Canada, Tina.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm with you on that. Let me just step back to the province, though. When I look at the legislation and the bills and the amendments that have been put into place in this country since the NDP have rolled in here, for example, and I would pretty much guarantee that most of the amendments and stuff are probably very, very similar, knowing that, I mean, Horgan's illegally operating in BC anyway, the way that they got in, if we were actually to, you know, if there was a way that people could actually call that out. But with the Land Statutes Act, which is basically Bill 204 under the provincial legislation, my understanding of the Land Title Act is that there's amendments that have been put into place that they're basically saying that the certificates of title, they cannot be acquired or deemed to been acquired by adverse possession, which would lead to unapproved methods of payment or foreign investors or however things are written up provincially, allowing citizens to have the rights, correct? So my understanding is, though, that this amendment, this bill is supposed to be going through January 1st of 2019, and it basically states right then that at that point of time, if any land titles have been certified and approved, that there is no stepping back. So all of the acquisitions that have taken place, probably also including the Islamic State of Fort McMurray, are going to be set in stone as of January 1st, and there will be nothing that we can do to retract those certificates, according to the bill and the amendments, as of January 1st. At this time, there's a possibility that we can still fight it if we can possibly get an investigation out there. And that's where I feel that my, you know, that's where I'd really like to get some questions towards the federal lawsuit that's pending with everything that they're looking at, and see if there is a way that we can, because, I mean, that would go right back towards treason on our behalf within our province towards the NDP, but also tie into Trudeau because it would prove that he's, you know, the ties are there. All the networks are there.
And, boy, if we want to get into everything. The ties, well, I'll tell you something. there's some, you know, and I know, listen, there's some really, really heavy poop going to go down in the United States of America here in the next little while, whether you believe it or not. I know there's going to be some heavy poop go down. And, you know, there's international courts being set up. Now, Trump is a puppet, as far as I'm concerned. What we're seeing in my term, I mean, I like a lot of things that Trump's done. There's no, you know, I don't like a lot of things he's done, but some of the stuff he's done, you gotta like it. You gotta like some of the things he's done. Standing up at the border right now, absolutely approve of that 100%. But we could see a state of civil war. We could see martial law implemented in the United States of America. When these indictments are unsealed, and I don't want to get too deep into a political conversation about America, but I do talk to some people down there that are pretty knowledgeable. And the implications of that alone, people say to me, well, that's America. Don't worry about it. It has nothing to do with us. Wait a second. Hold on. You know that when this, if this goes down and the swamp is so-called drained, if you don't think that Justin Trudeau's name is mentioned in there in multiple places, then you really do truly have your head in the sand.
Everywhere. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's just as dirty as I read some really bad news. I read some bad news today. He's probably right up there at the top. Well, I read some bad news. The Clinton Foundation is down. They lost $36 million in donations here. Doesn't that it just tears me apart? We just got such a good foundation.
I know, right? I don't know. I'd like to see the Trudeau Foundation down to about $3.60 from what they're over a billion now.
I ask people about the Trudeau Foundation. They go, what? What's that?
The one with the pedophilia symbol, guys.
Yeah. I mean, come on, guys. You've never heard of the Trudeau Foundation? Well, yeah, there was a hockey game on last night. Sorry, I didn't get a chance to watch that, you know? I didn't see that. I didn't see that on CBC. What are you talking about? If it's not on CBC, well, it's not true, man. Come on.
Yeah, oh, I know. I've got many, many, I know many people that are like that. I just have to, I don't have much to say. Or sometimes I say too much, and then I have to leave.
I've never in my life felt the levels of rage I feel right now. And, you know.
Well, and this is the thing. Many people are angry, right? That anger needs to be put into a positive light.
It has to be channeled the right way. And I realize that.
And that anger is its full energy, right? So, I mean, if we can get it channeled in the right direction, then we can actually do something to face this.
Well, it's
but
a good energy if it's
there's no organization, then yes.
Well, that's why I'm just myself, and I see it with everybody else that's involved right now. We're all reaching out to each other. We're trying to put aside differences, period, because these little differences are really standing in the way of people really amalgamating and becoming a much more powerful voice. So when I talk to people, I'm always going to talk to people that I don't agree with everything they say. So it makes us human beings, man. But if we're focusing on one issue, then these differences really have to be set aside, period, if we're going to go forward.
And I think, too, that we just need to start looking at good versus bad, right? Or evil versus bad, actually, in this case. The whole, you know, you're Democratic, you're liberal, you're left, you're right. It just needs to stop. That was all put into our heads, the racial implications, all that stuff. I've never known Canadians to be racist. I know that people don't like bad people. They don't. I know people that have worked with. Canada is a multinational country. It always has been. We've always had that as our identity. We always hung on to our heritage within certain communities. You could go to some community and it's the, you know, the Ukrainian capital, and you go to this community and it's, you know, it's French history from there. And that history used to get taught in the schools years ago, but in the last 10 to 15, all that information has been removed. And so now we've got all this division, and we just need to start talking on common ground, because most people that I know, and I know a lot of people across Canada and actually across the globe, I've got quite a few connections as well, 99% of them are good people. They're all good people. They just live their own lives. But the things that if we're not living the same lifestyle as them, then how do we think that we can understand what is good or bad for them? They're the ones that need to have the voice. When you start discussing things like climate change, and we've got these scientists that go up to the North Pole or up into Inuit and into Nunavut, and they take 10 days to complete a study in a very, very small area, and I'm guaranteed they're doing microchipping and vaccinating and testing and putting this animal, you know, down for a while and doing all these studies, but of course, God forbid that we go and jump on its back and ride it for a bit, you know. But they go up and do all these studies, and they say that this is what's occurring, you know, climate change, the ice caps are receding, the polar bears are dying because they looked at this very, very small area. So then you go and talk to the people that are up there, and they're like, yeah, okay, so we do have receding ice caps. That's not a lie. It is actually occurring. We don't know what extent. I'm sure it's being exaggerated on the National Geographic side. But they've got an overpopulation of healthy polar bears that are starting to come into their communities and becoming a threat. And they have been working with wildlife organizations to study. That, you know, there is one that I came across. There's 75 hunters that have been working for three years with the one organization, and they're saying there is no concerns for the population of the polar bears. They want the government, they are asking the government to go in and look at the management of their programs because it's getting mismanaged to the point that it's causing them harm or it's creating a threat to their communities because these bears are coming in and killing people. So at what point are we going to start listening to the people that have the experience as opposed to these guys that are hiding behind the name of science? And at what point are we going to start considering all of the information? We cannot continue to look down that narrow pigeonhole path that science has created. We need to take in all of the data. And we need to get the data from the independents. We need to get the data and respect the information from those people. Many of those people have spent their entire lives, like myself, dealing with this stuff and being able to recognize what a dead tree looks like as opposed to a tree that has a few green leaves on it. You know, and, you know, there's farmers. All of that stuff is being removed from the farmers' hands. Farmers are the best producers in the world. You want to take away that, you know, their life's work and put it into the hands of somebody that went to university, spent thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars to get a degree, and then go and tell this guy when he doesn't know the difference between a combine and a slother or hay and barley. You know, it's really, it's disheartening. We have to be able to consider all sides to the story to come up with reasonable solutions.
Unfortunately, one part of the equation is being held back from people in nefarious ways. And until we can get that information out to people, a lot of people aren't going to get a grasp of what's going on around them because they still are inside the matrix. Even though they know there's a little bit of nefarious stuff going on, they hear a little bit here and there about it, but they're really not grasping the scope of what we're involved with right now. This is a pinnacle point for Canada right now. It is a pinnacle point.
Absolutely, because everything is revenue driven. So the only guys that we have looking at things is they're looking at the numbers. Now, if we would step back for a minute onto the 5G rollout, the towers, we're talking about a multi-billion-dollar program right now. Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at the economics of that, of course, everybody's like, this is a great program. If nobody is telling them about the health repercussions that are with these things, that are come along with this, the amount of reach that these towers have, how the exposure is going to be laid out, if that specific tower is still operating 3G, 4G, 5G, and having all of those variable frequencies pulsating through the air at you every second of every day, you're gonna have some repercussions. It's exposure, right? So the revenue, the economic driven things right now, at what point in time are we going to be able to say technology needs to take a step back? They're using all of this stuff. Like there was $380 million, I believe, given to, I want to say it was IBM, but I can't verify that right now, in June or so, a couple of years ago, for the upgrades of all of our NEXRAD radar systems, because it's going to improve our weather forecasting. And it was shortly after that that we started having these massive, massive storms coming through and wiping out areas, like these wind storms, beautiful colors and all of this stuff as the planes are flying through the sky. And strange weather. I mean, the last 3 years. Have we had snow in the fall in the last 3 years? Yeah. Strange how climate change occurred just when the government, we had an election, you know.
Well,
it's definitely things to consider. Yeah, well, there
is chaos right now.
It's the silent warfare, though, right? It's things that people aren't going to consider because they're saying climate change argument. And it's affecting the revenue. It's breaking people down by what's going to, they're not going to come over and shoot them. They're not going to come over and start stealing all their stuff, but they're just doing it through the economic routes, and they're making them suffer because of lack of production, lack of revenue. Why do you think right now that our oil's at $10 a barrel when everywhere across the world is up there? It's
why
not
are we buying oil from Saudi Arabia? Come on.
It's a game.
That's $67 a barrel. But we're selling our oil for 10? Hang on, wait a second. Whoa, I missed something here.
Why do you think right now, just a few days ago, Notley announced that they're not going to charge carbon taxes on the drilling companies? Well, how about if we stop for a second and look at who owns those drilling companies and how those hands have been exchanged? Do we have foreign investors sitting at the top of those companies right now?
Yeah.
Would those carbon taxes actually be coming out of the government's pocket in a sense, or is it just an agreement that those carbon taxes, in a sense, that money that they would otherwise have to pay is actually going to be rolled over into some other program? So, I mean, things like this need to get looked at, but they need to get looked at. I mean, there's a reason why they're saying that we're going to exempt the drilling companies from carbon tax. Not being nice. There's an economical, revenue-driven reason why they're doing it.
Of course, there's an agenda behind everything we look at. There is an agenda being played out. You might not see it on the surface, but it's being played out. And really, sometimes I wish I could get a microphone into some of these think tanks that these people hold and the hours and hours and hours of thought that goes into getting our society to the point it is right now. And I'll tell you, it'd be interesting. It would make for good radio, I'll tell you. You know what, Tina, I haven't even gotten going with you. I mean, there's so much I want to talk about, and I've had some really good conversations with you today, and I think we've bounced off each other pretty good for our first time on the radio. Thanks for coming in today. We only got about 2 minutes left here, and I'll have to go to a break because I got to go take care of my bladder. And the next hour, I got Lonnie Clark coming in. She has a radio show called The Age of Fission, and she's really on nuclear. You're welcome to sit around and join into the conversation a little bit if you want in the second hour here, if you have nothing planned. But we are going to go to break here in a couple minutes. You want to say a couple things, and we'll close out the first hour. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, no, and thank you very much, Barry. It's been a great conversation. Unfortunately, we kind of ventured away from the 5G and the
cell phone microwave.
I guess so. If I have anything in closing to say, that I would like to say that, you know, as of with the technology that we have right now, there's some very heavy concerns that we need to be looking at. And it's up to our representatives, like the Ministry of Health, to issue precautionary advice on the public health level and to be able to roll out public policy to keep people in this province safe. In that there is none of that information that's being presented, I am working on some way or somehow that we can possibly get some of this information out to people as to why you should make sure that those phones stay on airplane mode when your children have them in their hands, as to, you know, limiting the Wi-Fi, as to just safety precautions on how to protect yourself, because there is a sterilization program going on across America, Western Canada as well. How else do you overpopulate by making sure that there is infertilization that's going to be possible? And some of the repercussions of this, and there has been studies proven that it is a direct result of use, especially with young children. And once that damage is done, it's done. So I would like to, moving forward, though, I'll keep in touch with you. Once we have some information together that we can get out to the people, then perhaps maybe we can set up another time to discuss them or get it to you, and we can just do some information sharing if the networks are still up and running.
Yeah, hopefully that's for a while yet. And yeah, I look forward to having another conversation in the future here, Tina. It's been a good hour. I'm going to take a break here, folks. Thanks for coming in. And I'm going to take a break for a couple minutes here, and then I'll be joined by Lonnie Clark. So hang around, and we're going to talk about nuclear insanity. Well, welcome back to the second hour of The Big Puzzle, folks. And thanks again to Tina for joining me. That was an enjoyable conversation, our first hour, and I look forward to having her back in the near future. One lady I haven't had a chance to talk to for a while is Lonnie Clark. Lonnie does a show called The Age of Fission. I got that right, finally, Lonnie.
Yes.
And Lonnie really spends a lot of her time. I spend a lot of my time talking about nuclear insanity on the planet. Anybody that's listened to my shows know that I'm pretty passionate about the whole spectrum of nuclear insanity on this planet. And Lonnie spends a lot of her time focused on this issue, so I've invited her in today. I haven't had a conversation with her for probably about 8 months now, I think, since we've had a conversation. Lonnie, so welcome to the show. And
Thanks,
let's get into some talking about some of this insanity.
Yeah, it is insanity, actually. It has been quite a while since we talked, and I've actually kind of had a little revelation in my own mind about it. Before we talked about it, I think it's intentional, but when preparing for this show, I was going to all of my resources so we could talk about what's going on around the country. And, really, it doesn't take long. All you have to do is look around in your own backyard. There's probably some nuclear waste somewhere near you. I think one of the most astonishing things that the NRC is trying to do right now is they are attempting to reclassify high-level nuclear waste, extremely high-level nuclear, the most highest level of – it's a radioactive sludge at the bottom of their tanks they've been cleaning out for 20 years. You know, they throw all their tools and everything in there because it gets too radioactive and it's at the bottom of the tank. So there's only 62,000 gallons left. They want to call it all good, say reclassify it as low level because they can't really get to it. They have to spend money. They have to invent a machine to move it. So what they want to do is just pour concrete on it, call it low level, and walk away. Now, this is really shocking. Now, you can go to where's the best link is? Go to hanfordchallenge.org, H-A-N-F-O-R-D, challenge.org. They have a link directly to the DOE website where you can make a comment, because the comment period, we got the comment period still extended because so many people complained. So instead of them saying, no, we won't do it, they just extended the comment period again. So this is what Donna Gilmore from San Onofre Safety said. She learned this trick with the NRC. Force them through the commentary period because they're required by law, if they get enough comments, to delay. And then it becomes so expensive they can't take on these crazy, insane ideas that they get. Because they are insane. They are completely disconnected from the torture and they are attempting, frankly, to normalize radioactive waste and contamination and disease and all the, look, you push my button here, brother. I was going to tell you. You just let me get going and I got ideas on this one because it is not an accident. Look around everywhere when you think about it, they bombed us over 2,000 times after World War II. They put enough radioactive contamination on the planet for hundreds of thousands of years. And they realized what they did. And they're like, great, we're just going to keep going. Mm. So every time it rains, every time it snows, radioactive particles are coming down to the point where I'm walking through the forest with my grandchild and it starts raining. And he puts his head back and says, wants to get the rain. I'm like, Julian, no, don't ever eat the rain. Don't eat the snow. Like, never, never let that get in your body. And my daughter was like, Mom, don't freak them out. I'm like, you guys need to talk to them about this because kids cannot play like they used to now. And that is the reality of where we're at. Nowhere on the planet is it safe to drink the water out of you're taking a big risk. It's kind of like that nuclear scientist I saw from Norway. He said, look, they were talking about the Sellafield. I don't know if your listeners understand, but in Sellafield, England, they're dumping out 9 million liters of radioactive waste since like 1982 every day. 9 million liters a day, every day. So right off the Irish Sea, it swings into the Irish Sea, goes off into Norway. It's contaminated all of the Atlantic. It continues to contaminate.
And that's being discharged by a pipe they've got down at about 4,000 or 5,000 feet. Is that the link? I read a link on that.
The pipes that they have, no. Sellafield is just a leaking nuclear power plant, like a meltdown, sort of semi-meltdown they couldn't fix a long time ago. Okay. So it just leaks like Fukushima leaks. The pipes that you're talking about, this is what I'm saying. Like when you really discover the complete disregard, the French government, this was their solution because before Greenpeace got involved in the 70s. Everybody in Europe just dumped all their nuclear waste in the middle of the ocean.
You in barrels, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, steel barrels.
So they made
that's a good
this
idea.
Big thing where they made them stop. So what they did was they built big pipelines underneath the ground, and they're slowly leaking it out into the Atlantic Ocean, just slowly. There's, you know, the solution to pollution is dilution, and that's how they get away from it. That's what they're saying. Now, do any of these nuclear scientists, any of these so-called, what do they call it, climate change people? Like, in fact, I was at an event with KEPW. My show plays on KEPW.org, which is a you know, K is for the radio station. They got one of the United States in 2016, gave out 18 new FM radio stations. Eugene Peace Works, which was a piss poor radio station. It wasn't even a radio. It was a nonprofit. Like, they were the only people that ever showed up. There was three people that showed up with me every time I protested about nuclear. And it was Rick Gold, Nan, and this other woman that's involved with them. And so somehow they got their they put in a request for the radio station and they got the license. So now there's a radio station in Eugene, Oregon called KEPW.org, 97.3 FM, LP. That's the title. And it's a nonprofit. It's community focused. It's, and so they asked me to have my show on there, right? So as I'm really starting to think about this, this nuclear waste is everywhere. When there is no place that we can look at on our planet, and they knew about it. This is not an accident. I cannot help but believe they know exactly what they're doing. Now,
I have to agree
if
with
you
one.
Go to your doctor and ask your doctor, can you test me for radioactivity? I think I've been contaminated. He will be mad at you.
Mm. We don't do tests like that. Yeah, yes. We don't do those kind of tests.
$500 or $5,000 or some, pick a number, and you won't be able to afford it.
Well, you could get it done privately. It'll probably cost you a few hundred, $300, $400, but there's labs. I can go to a lab here in Terrace and get tested for anything I want tested in my body, but I think it's about $300 to do it.
Right. Well, this is the thing. It's really hard to figure out what's in your body because it just takes 1/16,000,000th of a gram of plutonium lodged in your body to give you cancer somewhere in your body. 1/16,000,000th of a gram. That's plutonium. You know how much plutonium we have circling
at
the atmosphere?
How much at Hanford?
Oh, Lord. Gosh.
I think it's what are 80 tons of it.
Sitting that's what they
right
tell us. I do not believe a word they say to us. This is the bottom line. Everything they say is
a lie. I know that.
Everything.
I know that.
And so,
I know.
You know, it's
but
kind
still,
of
that's a lot of plutonium, man.
What's interesting, my show on KEPW plays at 2 odd hours. One is at 11 o'clock at night and one is at 7:30 in the morning. So that's a weird radio audience, right? Like, I have to have my Saturday show so it doesn't freak people out because they're getting up at 7:30 in the morning. It's different than 11 p.m. because there might be children listening. So I focus a lot on in the morning shows about how to stay happy and how to fight. Like, we all, like Dave, you know, I don't know if you've interviewed Dave. Dave Parrish, he's got Operation Save the Earth. He has a YouTube channel, and every Friday he does the Fuku Friday Hangout. And it's a 10, 15-minute video about how inform yourself, figure out a way to get active, and all you need to do is spend 8 minutes a day. He talks about the value of 8 minutes a day in self-sacrifice, and just do it for other people. Give of your time 8 minutes a day. We need millions of people not just looking at the issue and saying, oh, gosh, man, that's so horrible. Really, get involved in your own community. It is in your backyard. I guarantee you it's in your backyard. And the only way, like, I have an appointment next week with my Senator Ron Wyden's office, and I'm going to talk to him about closing down the Columbia Generating Station, which is in my backyard. And it is I think it is the most dangerous nuclear power plant on the planet because of the proximity factor. Right. Because we know we're sitting on an earthquake zone. And if it has a mild meltdown, nobody can get into Hanford. And the tanks at Hanford that require 24-hour churning, they have to use a machine, but it requires people to keep the machinery going, right? So it needs humans on that. It's only 12 miles from Columbia Generating Station. So if it had a meltdown, you couldn't get in there for 2 weeks. You will die within 20 minutes. So you know, we could have a very serious problem that we could have an explosion, a 100,000-year fire at Hanford that would create a nuclear winter for the entire planet. So that's one thing. I think people need to be calling their representatives and saying, we need to close down the Columbia Generating Station because I heard it's way too close to Hanford and sitting on top of an earthquake fault. On top of the fact, it's costing the state of Washington and every one of the ratepayers $500 million a year. It's a losing proposition. It does not earn money. That's why nobody insures these nuclear power plants. They don't make money. The government subsidizes 92% of the budget of the Department of Energy goes to nuclear power plants.
You know, when I look at it, Lonnie, we're, as a human species, we're committing suicide right now because unless we have a mechanism in place to get rid of all this.
You know what? You were right.
If we don't do this, let me just finish my thought here for a minute. If we don't do this and do it very quickly in this next generation, then I don't know how the human race is going to escape nuclear radiation. Because what you said about Columbia sitting on a fault line, we've had this conversation before, and I tell people to go do this yourself. You know, you go on the computer and punch up every known active fault line on the planet Earth today and put it on a piece of transparent paper and then do the same search for nuclear power plants and then lay them over top of each other, Lonnie. And if you don't fall off your chair, then you're just not paying attention. Because I think, that, to be honest, now, I don't want to say something false, but I believe about 80%, or I think the number might even be higher, of all the nuclear power plants operating on the planet Earth today are within striking range of major geological fault lines that will have major events in the future. It's inevitable. So what's going to happen? We saw what happened with Fukushima. We saw what happened anytime that we have problems with these plants. What happens if we get a couple really big shakers and we have 5 or 6 or 10 Fukushimas to deal with on the planet? Are we going to be able to survive that? Are we? That's a question I ask myself all the time. It's absolute nuts that we're looking at extinguishing life. How else can I see that? Am I seeing it wrong? People say that I overplay that. I don't think I'm overplaying that at all. I look at what Fukushima's doing to my ocean. And, you know, sure, there's a lot of bullcrap out there about it, Lonnie. There's reports out there that aren't accurate, but there's a lot that are. And if half the ones that I'm reading are true, then our ocean is in absolute peril right now.
Of course it is.
I know it is. I'm just trying to downplay it a little bit here, Lonnie, because there is information out there that I have vetted and found it to be bullcrap. Okay. So to say that everything out there about it is 100% accurate, that's not true. But when I do look at stuff, I really make sure I vet it, that I go to the source, make sure it's reliable, but make sure it's good information. And I say to myself, it's more than 50%, but I say to people, if 50% of what I'm seeing right now is true, then we're looking at the depletion of life and the end of life on this planet. Well, what is more important right now to focus on? Period. I can't think of anything else, Lonnie. That's my rant. Go ahead.
You know, I agree 100% with you, and that's why I think everybody needs to get engaged. And I know this is a thing, we're very jaded, but guess what? Our elected officials, they do feel the pressure. We can pressure them. And I think that we need to, even if it's meaningless, we need to not let them sleep at night. We need to make them nervous, because honestly, like Ron Wyden right now, he's calling for, because his constituents like me, and actually this is very interesting, because Ron Wyden, there's an article that came out on November 19th where Ron Wyden said, well, we need to slow the train down on this. You know, we need to, he's asking for the Department of Energy to slow down and reconsider how they're going to interpret this, because the fact is it will interpret how we handle nuclear waste moving forward. If we allow them to classify the worst contaminant, the most toxic, the hardest part that we know we've had to deal with, kicking the can down the road and just going, oh, well, it's not that bad. This is a grave error. And Ron Wyden, I am glad I've been poking him in the eye, because you know what? Maybe I'm not alone. Maybe I'm not the only person doing it, because he is speaking up. He finally said, look, we need to slow this down. And he is using his muscle to slow them down from doing this. So it does matter. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, unfortunately, the people in charge of these nuclear power plants and all of these chemical facilities, like, frankly, right now, Dane Wigginton actually on his show yesterday, he said, I'm sorry, he goes, but you know, this administration, the Trump, that's the hardest on our environment. They are speeding us up faster than anything we could have predicted. And it is a real reality how we're being challenged. And each of us, for some people, they don't want to get involved in the nuclear waste thing. I can't figure out why people don't believe. To me, allowing nuclear waste to go into our water supply is a crime against humanity, because you can't undo tritium. Tritium is part of water, and it does cause, we've already done irreparable, but I think this, I think we need a reconciliation. This is where I really believe this. I am not chop their heads off. I think we need a truth and reconciliation program where the scientists, instead of calling them whistleblowers, we call them scientists, where the people who work in the industry get the things they need. They need safety gear. They need to be respected and not demeaned when they see something wrong. We need to spend triple the government. We need to take money out of war and into nuclear remediation and chemical remediation. We need a truth and reconciliation program where the scientists can come clean and say, yes, we did lie. We did understate it. We know it's way more serious. And okay, we're going to work hard to tell the truth. And we let them do that. And then we have free education where our children who are not being educated get to become scientists because so many of them take to the internet. They understand things in a different way. It is their world. And we need them to come up with their ideas. I think if we allow freedom, this is why I say happiness is resistance, because we're not going to discover the answers to this contamination and this pollution being miserable and waiting for death to come to our door. Screw that. I mean, you know, we can put it off by resisting the urge to eat sugar. It is something that I fight with myself. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say I don't. Eat well as you can eat and what works for your body. Be happy. Exercise. Get engaged. Give a little bit of your time to something that isn't interested in your self-interest, to the community somehow. We have people sleeping on the streets. We have children sleeping on the streets. We have people starving in our own communities and our own countries, and it's everywhere. And we have this contamination. And you know what? Homeless people are the most exposed to nuclear contamination because it comes down when it rains and when it snows, and they are the most exposed. And they don't even know it. And that's why they all get the cancers and the autoimmune diseases, and they get weird shit that makes them look even more grotesque.
Yeah, well, the World Health Organization projects by the year 2025, 1 in 2 people will have cancer. So that's something we get. That's something we get to look.
Look,
isn't that something we get to look forward to?
Do you know who Guy McPherson is? Do you follow Guy McPherson?
I've heard that name before, but
yeah. Well, he's predicting by 2025 we're probably not going to have very many humans on the planet either.
Well,
if you
want my feelings on that, Lonnie, I'd agree with him. But then people say you're being a doomsdayer, that you're not being realistic. Well,
He's looking at the biology. He says, if you just look at where we are scientifically, this is his thesis. Scientifically, we're getting to the point where we are polluting our water so badly and we are changing the climate. It doesn't even matter what you want to blame it on. Our environment is not going to sustain life in 10 to 15 years very easily. And we are driving the train right into the brick wall, and we are going to slam hard because they have no intention of changing their ways. The only way it's going to happen, that's what I think. I think we need a love revolution. I think love is the answer. When I say love is greater than fear, I believe it 100%. And I think that's why people take to Jesus, because Jesus offers love. I mean, this is like a big, I know I say a lot of things, but I mean, I think about it in the bigger picture. And I also think we're multidimensional. So like, I think for some reason, these non-terrestrials that are here sharing our space that we can't quite see want this nuclear contamination. And I really believe that there's some type of a coerced or negotiated deal for greed reasons, because greed seems to be the addiction of choice by the people in power. And I think that they are willing to kill us for it. So I don't get the whole story, but I, on an intuitive level, I think it's way bigger than anything we can see, because they know what they're doing. It's intentional.
Well, of course it is.
It's Tina here. Could I interject for 1 second?
Sure. Come on in for a minute. Tina, yeah, thanks for hanging around.
I can't hold myself back anymore. Moni, wonderful conversation. Have you taken any consideration or any look at basically biologicals and how they may fit into this program and looking at the world body and what direction they're going with that and how nuclear waste?
It's all the same program, don't you think? It's not anything different. It's all just, you know, I have looked into it. I think it's all part of the murder, death, kill program. frankly. Yes.
Absolutely. Because the reduction of the population, I mean, if you look on Deagle.com.
I mean, it's a very quick way to go. You know, it's World War III, but they're just, you know, we're on a need-to-know basis, and we don't need to know yet.
Well, I think when you look at, no, 100%, but when you look at all of the things, I have been doing rain and water samples for a while, and I grow them in petri dishes. I look at them under the microscope. What I see is horrifying. I have done things with nanoparticle extractions, built a little extractor here at home to see if there is actually things that come out of my system. The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. So knowing that the conductivity is being created in us and seeing what I'm seeing underneath the microscope, the biologicals or the reactions, I mean, I'm not a biologist by any means. I just, you know, I look into the information that's available. I do comparative figures. And looking at information that's being released from, like, the National Geographic talking about superbugs being released from right. permafrost, melting ice caps, and how they're going to jump from Antarctica up to the north and infiltrate our areas. And we're looking at pandemics and epidemics. And in Canada here, Trudeau had put a thing out a couple of years ago where he basically notified all the health services and hospitals across the world. There was somebody from, I can't remember another country, that had sent me a link to the newspaper ad, because, of course, we don't get that information here. But the article was basically, he was preparing everybody in the country to deal with a loss of about 10 million people. When you look at Deagle.com, our population decreases from 2017 to 2025 by 10 million. In the States, it decreases wow. by 255. Wow. So, and that's UK, France, Germany take big population losses too. It's a really interesting site to browse through and see what they're doing with the military and purchases. And I can't help but wonder if they don't have the technology to actually transform us into the robotics. And that's why that's, we're seeing.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's why we're seeing an increase with the radioactivity, because these superbugs, if they're able to feed them frequencies, they would feed off of the radioactivity. That's the reason why they're taking protein out of our diet, because that would defy or interrupt that process. The whole zombie era and everything would tie into it, right? If you got to think out of the box, you might as well think as big as you can.
I mean,
it sounds like a Rod Sterling movie, man.
I mean, it does, but you know what? Like
outer space. The Twilight Zone. Where am I? Wait a second. Can I wake up here? I want to get the hell out of here, man.
Yes,
go ahead,
you
buddy.
Need my permission to
you, you ladies go at it for a few minutes. I'll just sit here and listen to the conversation, okay? But
I didn't listen to the conversation on the 5G. I usually listen to your show when you're done. I don't listen live, Barry. So I didn't listen earlier. But, you know, this thing, it all goes hand in hand. It just sort of makes sense. Like, they know intentionally what they're doing. It is not an accident. Like, this is the thing. Like, my niece, who is 28, would love to have a 5G phone. And honestly, I'm telling you what, like, when she's able to play with my 5G phone, there's something, I have a 4G phone and I can't stand to touch it. I am very sensitive to it. You know how I picked up my phone? Because they sold me like some other phone that was supposed to be like the newest, best thing. I brought it home and it burnt my hands. And yeah. I like couldn't put it together. And I said, look, dudes, I went back the next day. I said, I need a different phone. I don't care which one it is. I said, how about you put all the phones, plug them all in, turn them all on, and I'm going to touch them. And I put my hands, my fingers on each phone with my eyes closed, and I picked the one that burnt me least.
Wow. Yes. I'm also wow. very electro hypersensitive, and I get tingling, instant headaches. Like, I know when I'm home when this tower is cranked up down here, because I have large frontal lobe tingling, kind of just a numbness that creates like the anxiety and kind of the depression. There's no life, you know what I mean? It just drains you. There's a lot to it. And unless we become aware of it, I mean, but I really believe that there is something, they know exactly what they're doing. The program that they're rolling out, they know exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You look at what's being dealt with down in California, you know, with the possibility of the direct, well, it's not possibility of direct energy weapons and the lasers and everything, but what is happening down there is completely unnatural, what has happened. And the compounds, I mean, to go in there and to actually be able to do some analysis of what kind of compounds were used to be able to make those fires happen. And
well, you know what happened? It's not just what they did. I think the laser weapons actually activated the sodium from the original meltdown that happened in Southern California, if you're talking about that one. I think because that was a sodium reactor plant. And I reported on this on my YouTube channel. I don't think it got very many views, but like as soon as I read this article, I was looking into it because Libby Halevy from Nuclear Hot Seat was telling me how the people in Simi Valley were super upset because now they were just about to go into court to sue the DOE because they didn't tell anybody about the meltdown for over 20 years. And the cancer rate among the children in Simi Valley is over 60%. And now with this fire, all of the evidence went up in smoke, all of it, literally.
Yeah.
And I was looking into it, and it turns out that the sodium reactor, sodium actually reacts to water. So it explodes when water touches it. So I think that they did, in fact, use laser beam weapons to get it started, knowing that it was sodium and the firefighters would come in there with water and just let them let it explode. Because when you look at it, it looked like a nuclear explosion fire, not just a regular firefighter. How when it got started, it freaked me out.
So much.
It went. And the Santa Anita winds.
Yes.
What's that?
Yeah. No, I've looked into that a lot, guys. And
this is the thing. They know what they're doing. And I think
exactly
this is why I urge people to stay happy, though. Because really, if you focus on like their, it's like any batterer. Like we are literally like battered wives. Like we are the underdog and there is no shelter to go to. We got to walk through it and we have to face them. We have to go gray. We cannot let them see us unhappy and miserable. And don't share your happiness with them either. Don't rejoice in like, oh, we're winning. No, we're not, because we have a long fight. But I think that we need to just be happy and go out and find what works for you and give of your time. Because if we're going to save humanity at all, it's going to be because every person on this planet understands that our existence is being threatened right now. And I feel it's an urge. This is why I have been having a hard time. I haven't even posted up my last three interviews on my Spreaker channel because I felt like I'm just part of the white noise. I'm just pissing in the wind. Like, why am I doing this? And then I realized I finished reading Libby Halevy's book, Yes, I Glow in the Dark. And I realized, you know what? She's right. We have an obligation to this because we're part of it. It happened to us. And we cannot just allow these evildoers and these liars and perpetrators. It's like she makes an analogy in her book about the child sex predators and how they got away with it. And it's exactly the same. It was so, I recommend this book to everybody. It's called Yes, I Glow in the Dark by Libby Halevy. And it's about her experience as being a Three Mile Island survivor. And, you know, how she came to create Nuclear Hot Seat, if anybody listens to me, you probably know Nuclear Hot Seat. So this is an action, urgent action to call, but I think that we need to just decide to stay happy on the same end of it. Get active, but, you know, find things that make you happy. Go out into the forest. Go for a walk. Put a mask on if you think you're, you know, exposed to radioactive contamination. Put a scarf in front of your face. That will help you.
And also make sure one of the tricks and, you know, one of the old tricks to keep yourself grounded is walk barefoot and let your feet conduct with soil and make sure that you take off your shoes and wear leather-soled shoes. Stay grounded. That's how you can help your body stay grounded. Is to just walk barefoot.
That's right.
They're simple little things.
Just walk on the grass. Go out in your own backyard, your own little patch of something. So even if you live in an apartment somewhere, there's got to be a little patch of grass you can take your feet off on. You know, 15, 20 minutes a day actually will rejuvenate you. It's like so incredible. The plant, we actually do, you know, Brian Porter from Making a Difference .dv, I think it is, Making a Difference .tv. He's really big. He thinks we should all sleep outside during the summertime in our backyards.
I like Brian.
You know, like in a tent, like sleep in your tent and sleep out back. Set your tent up in the backyard and sleep out there. My niece did that. She came and stayed with me for a week and put her tent up there, and she loved it. That was like, she loved doing that. So I thought about it, but I'm afraid of the raccoons. I don't want to be out there by myself if the raccoons are coming. I don't want that. They make me afraid.
Stay away from Box springs with big spring mattresses, metal springs and things like that as well too, right? Anything that you can give yourself reprieve from that conductivity.
That's true.
I'll try and get one word in here edgewise. You know what? I'm a bush guy. You guys all know that. And the best time of my year is when I'm in the bush. And yeah, take your shoes off and walk in the grass. Boy, does it ever affect your mental attitude? You know, it's something you gotta go out and do that, man. Just connect with the earth. There's an energy coming out of the earth, and you feel it when you walk in the grass. And boy, I'll tell you, people ask me why I walked away from my $150,000 a year job to go harvest mushrooms in the bush, because being in the bush, there's nothing like it. It really does a number on your soul. So get out there and pick some mushrooms. You guys can go right back at it.
Hug a tree.
I'm enjoying this conversation. Huh?
Hug a tree. Go find a tree and hug your tree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We need tree huggers again. Actually, when you hug a tree, you do actually feel better. They've done, University of Oregon did some study. It came out in the Eugene Weekly about a year ago that when you hug a tree for 10 to 15 seconds, longer than 15 seconds, I think it was, it actually creates a hormone in our body.
Well, there you go. I haven't done that one yet, okay? So maybe I'll try that.
If you can't,
I'll try anything once.
Some tree roots. And hug the tree. Yeah.
Yeah. So, tree huggers. It's really, it does. This is a thing. Like, there's so much to report on. Yeah. I mean, I can unload a bunch of stuff. Like, there was an explosion in, this is the weirdest story. There was an explosion kills one in Idaho. Same firm handles radioactive waste in Hanford. So they don't tell us anything in this article about the person that died or anything. It just says one person died in Idaho. The site in Idaho, about 50 miles south of Boise near Mountain Home, it takes in hazardous chemicals such as arsenic and lead from across the nation. And that's it. But it just tells us the same company owned it, but nothing about the human being that did it. It's like the way they report these stories is like so underreporting. You know, billions are spent. Here, listen to this title. Billions are spent in Hanford each. Report highlights risk of fraud and mismanagement. You think? Like, is that a gross understatement? That's the point of what the nuclear industry does. Fraud and mismanagement. That's their whole goal.
And that's what Barry and I actually touched on that a little bit as well, too, as far as even just looking on government websites and journalism and that. Now, I know I had somebody share a report with me the other day, and they're like, this is a really well-written report. And I started going through it and throwing up a little because the entire report was written for a six-year-old. You know, it explained how the person was standing there and the wind blew through their hair and the trees were rustling and they stepped over a curb. Like, it had nothing to do with the facts of true investigation and true reporting. And when you look at the stuff now, I know there was an article right now, we're starting to get a lot of our processed foods coming up here that's being contaminated and people are dying, E. coli and whatnot. And there was another report here yesterday. So, of course, I start looking into the fact that we actually, in Canada, work with the U.S. We've got a memorandum of understanding that the products that are crossing the border are tested for bacteria and viruses and everything like that before they're approved to come into the country. The systems that they're using now are plasma type, from my understanding, generated systems. So all they're doing is actually doing a scan, and this scan is just picking up whatever they've got programmed into that system, as opposed to having somebody do a true analysis of what may be on those products, right? It's all digital. It's all technological. And so the report that they gave out was that for the one products that had come across here that were contaminated, was lettuce. It was lettuce that had come up, and they said stop. They didn't tell us where it was coming from. They didn't tell us where it was distributed, what stores are distributing that produce from that location. They just said, get rid of all of your lettuce, get rid of everything, don't eat it. If you have these symptoms, this is what you need to do, and everything. They did not tell us anything. They just said, if you've got lettuce, throw it out.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, I was following that.
But this is what we're dealing with now. We can't, we've got, the misinformation is getting massive. And Lonnie, just so you have an understanding, I've been doing environmental my entire life. And yes, I hug trees before I cut them down. Right?
say a little prayer.
I get you. That's what I did. I went out for my very first time. See, I'm kind of a city person from LA. I moved to Oregon. Maybe it was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I went out for the first time in my life to find a tree, a live tree, and have it cut down for Christmas at a tree farm very close to me. And me and my grandson, he's 27, 28, we traipsed around, we looked for the perfect tree, and I'm like, hey, this is the perfect tree. And then the guy, he went to go get the guy to cut it, and I'm like, oh, I ended up hugging the tree. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm still going to cut you down, bud.
Oh, my goodness. And then, you know, you think about things. Like, I know with myself, if I go into an area, build a lease, do a construction, build some roads, whatever, you want to make sure that we are managing those areas properly. So we go back in and replant and do everything like that, right?
It's about honoring life. It's not about, like, not eating other animals or other plants or just, you know, taking things down. It's about honoring it and doing it with conserving it, you know, not being excessive in our use as humans.
Exactly.
Sustainability and balance, right?
Yeah. It's like when I shoot a moose. It's like when I shoot a moose. I love moose meat. And when I shoot a moose, I always say a little prayer for that moose.
Exactly.
For his sacrifice. And I can't eat meat out of the stores, and I know if I'm eating wild meat, I'm eating a meat that's still, even though it's got trace contaminants in it because of our environmental issues, is still basically good meat. So,
just like me, I started eating meat for the first time. In 2018, I literally physically, I had to start eating meat. I went to see a kinesiologist, and he talked to me for an hour and a half and talked me into it. So I buy my meat from local farmers that are grain-fed, organically fed and treated with respect. Like I looked around for a farm, and it's actually super cool because it's just the same cost as a grocery store, but I know that the animals are treated respectfully and the chickens.
You also know money's going back to the farmer as opposed to
and you know what? It's the same cost. It's not even like more expensive. It's the same cost. It's not like they're competitive and they deliver it to my door. Like, how nice is that? I eat what he told me was my minimum, 4 to 6 ounces of meat a day. And I keep it to that really to honor the animal, because I don't want to eat more than I really need, because I feel like if I eat just a smaller portion, we have to kill less animals.
Well, I'll tell you something, ladies. Do you want a monumental solution to, I'll say honestly, 50% of our health problems right now could be simply solved with one application in our society. Can you guess what that application would be? Because, of course, I'm going to plug cannabis.
Mr. Cannabis himself.
Oh, come on now. Wait a second. Hold on. If people understood what kind of food you'd be eating if you fed all your livestock, chickens, pigs, cows, anything that the human being is going to consume, if that animal was fed from the time it was born to the time you harvested that animal for consumption, cannabis, feral cannabis, you would have so much nutrition in your body. You'd have so much nutrition in your body, Lonnie, that a majority of our health problems right now would disappear in a generation. Prove me
the
wrong.
Well, I kind of have two things to say about that. Maybe in past times, but I do know this, that cannabis is like a suction vacuum for radioactive contamination. So if there's radioactive contamination in the dirt, the cannabis is going to be taking it up first.
Absolutely, Lonnie. They did a study on that in Japan.
Right? Rick Simpson. So I'm not so sure I want my chickens and animals to be eating that.
But you know what? If you plant all our soils, all our soils contaminated. We got them spraying glyphosate. We got them spraying our atmosphere. The vibranium, we could get rid of it all by simply growing industrial hemp on that piece of land. One year, it'll detoxify the soil. Boom.
You know, minimize your exposure to everything else that the radiation is going to negatively affect your body with, then you can eventually get rid of it, right? Like you can deplete the soil, because that's bioremediation, the use of biological to remediate soil.
Right, so, microbes. I mean, basically microbes. I did an interview with Charlotte Anthony, who's a permacultural specialist, and she learned how to farm without water. She went to India and learned how to farm without water. And she says that in order to really fix the whole thing with the radioactivity, first off, stop making it. And then once you do that, microbes, just pour microbes everywhere. Just grow microbes and stop growing grass. Grow food, grow plants, mix plants up like they do in the wild. Don't make neat little rows. Allow the culture to be mixed up, because that's what we've kind of strangled the natural order of things. And it's about letting it find itself.
To really have an effect on health, though, to really have a monumental effect on health, we've got to detoxify our soil. because our soils are heavily contaminated. Glyphosate is destroying our biosphere. It's showing up in all our food. The amount of chemicals that we're ingesting through our food because of pesticides, because of what's being sprayed, that has to come to a stop. And the best way to remediate that on a short term is, without a shadow of doubt, the industrial cannabis plant.
That's true.
Because
that's
the root system. True. Yeah, so we're right now, short-term solution. If I was in control, you know what I would do? I would put tens of millions of seeds in airplanes, and I would fly them over the whole planet, and I would spray them everywhere. And you know what else I'd do? I would get 100 million tons of raw cannabis, and I'd fly it over the oceans, and I'd drop it into the ocean.
You want to hear something?
The power of that plant. If the power of that plant, the human. Go ahead.
I hate to burst a bubble here. I'm totally in agreement with you, but when you start looking at, I mean, we could talk, have a completely full conversation about glyphosates and everything as far as that goes too. But when we started talking about genetical engineering and genetically modified organisms and the direction everything is going with how they are trying to get, like we see the increase of, with the nuclear waste, with the radiation exposure increasing, we see the increasing of, you know, smart dust nanoparticles, heavy metal compounds in the atmosphere, conductive atmosphere, the smart meters, the LED lights, everything else is becoming so that it's something that is affecting our natural systems that were being altered in a sense, if you want to say. But we also saw, like this year, I saw a huge decrease in population from, I'm seeing animal behaviors changing. I'm seeing the lack of bugs. This fall, we had hardly any bugs around, not a lot of songbirds, a lot of hawks and crows and things like that, right? Like predator species, more so. And so, but the one thing that I found the most astonishing was that there were some planes that I saw perfectly calm, clear days, because I've been tracking planes for a few years as well, spraying pollen, releasing seeds. After 5 weeks of snow this year in southern Alberta, we had a warm spell, and I was on a location, a pipeline break that I was cleaning up, and all of a sudden there was bumblebees and honeybees and bugs everywhere after 5 weeks of frozen snow, but they were spraying like buggers, plus also pollen coming out of the atmosphere. So it makes me think, and the other thing was a box elder beetle, which they do come indoors this, you know, in the fall. Their cycle is they lay eggs in the spring, they got the nymphs, they mature, they live through the summer, they hibernate in the winter. We had one that was on the front step of the place that we were staying at, and it was walking across an adult, and it stopped. And out of it came a nymph. Now, how is that possible? That is not their cycle. That's not what they do. They don't shed their shell and walk away from it. So I'm quite concerned that we are getting resistant species, the same as what they're doing with aluminum-resistant seeds. You look at some of the seeds that we have in agriculture. we've been seeding. I mean, my background's farming my entire life until I got into this industry 20 years ago. But we used to farm 3,000 acres, and we had 1,000 hogs, and I've worked with cattle, I've worked with horses, I've worked with a lot of different things. And, you know, over the years, we started coming up with Roundup Ready seed. So if it's Roundup Ready, that glyphosate is already in that seed's DNA, right? Wow. So if we go back to our heirloom seeds, then that stuff would be clean. But they have been modifying, so we would have to take a step back and go back into our seed banks and find the ones that they have been not messing around with the DNA and that's causing the celiac disease, that's causing all of these other issues. There is also talk that, you know, if they have people using these same products over a few generations, it will genetically alter our DNA. So then it becomes a genetic condition after, say, 3 generations.
Can't they just stop using that stuff and treat the animals with respect? Can't we just break up the big farms and say no more to that?
You know, I don't believe because I've sprayed, I had a pesticide applicator's license. I worked on the 3,000 acres we sprayed all the time. I was exposed to this stuff all the time. We followed MSDS. We followed the safety precautions. We wore masks. We wore gloves. We wore the suits. We did everything.
Yeah,
that we
but
were
forget
told
that. To like you're putting chemicals on our food.
Well, I want you to understand the dilution rates, and for us to be able to say that this is being caused by farming practices, I think is irrational. I think that the actual exposure levels, for me to look at a chart that says that we've got this much glyphosate in cereal that's coming off the shelf, it says to me that that stuff is either in the DNA of the grain or it's being introduced during the processing. It's not, when you look at the dilution rates, when you look at everything, you know, like one container of glyphosate, how many acres you can spread, how little it actually goes on. I would love to be able to put a challenge out there to have people go and do some studies.
So you think the worst of the glyphosate comes in through the meat? You think it comes in through the meat product, essentially?
No. I believe it's in, you know, like, because they're reporting it in the grains, not so much in the proteins, but in your cereals and yeah. in your grains, right?
So I mean, I eat organic food. I do not eat non-organic food.
You have to be so careful. The organic label has been stolen. When you owns the organics, then you might be exposing yourself to these genetically engineered products, because the World Health Organization, they've come up with, I have a friend who is a naturopath, and he was trying to sell me on this smart coffee, and he's like, oh, it's all this amino acid, it doesn't make you feel great, this and this, and I'm like, but if my body doesn't require that amount of it, why would I want to amp it up 100 times more than what my body requires? Because all of a sudden, if I can't get it, what's going to happen to me? I'll crash. You know, that's a smart coffee is what they're calling it. Makes you feel fantastic, gets you through the day.
That's the World Health Organization. Who respects them? Not me. I don't respect to me, the World Health Organization, they're the evildoers, because anybody who would agree to work with them agrees to basically tell the nuclear lies. Because the IAEA has the authority to censor every one of their reports.
Absolutely. The trick here is that he's a naturopath. He's bought into the organic health food label. When I research the guys that are making the smart coffee with the product and the company that he's promoting, it's owned by the World Health Organization, which he did not know.
Wow.
So the research has to be done, right? Like, we have to be very cautious with everything we do anymore and understand the processes that come into, you know, as a farming background and knowing farmers, and it hurts me like a lot. It angers me actually to know that the farmers are being blamed for 90% of this stuff, you know, with beef hormones, with the injections, antibiotics, all of this stuff. I would love to call bullshit on 95% of it. And because I know that the tests that are required to be able to come up with those analysis to actually be able to say, okay, we know for sure that this is where it's coming from, they're not being done. And they're not being done because then they can point the finger. First guy that stands up to speak can point the finger at that guy. Everybody else focuses on him and says to go get shut down. If you look at what PETA has done in this country and the processes that were implemented, the infrastructure, the revenue that got put towards it for the humane behavior of animals and treatment and right down to our killing plants, you look at the processes that they've put in place and now what's happening with our infiltration of the immigration. I mean, you guys have been dealing with that forever already, but they are actually writing policy that overrides our policy and allows them to skip some of those infrastructure so that they can actually take a cow onto the killing floor, slit its throat, and put that meat on the shelf that same day. Whereas we are legislated to use humane practices, be that electrical, whatever else, to put that animal down, plus cut the meat and let it rest for 3 days in a cooler system for microbes settling everything else before it can get sold. So you think of the infrastructure that's required and the difference of money that's being made, there is no way that we can compete with the policies and the legislation that is being put in, basically inequality against the people that are coming into the country under the name of religion. And that all ties right back to those simple processes and common sense methods right off the ground level and focusing on the right decisions as opposed to picking a route and an avenue to follow that's going to create the economics. And that's throughout everything, right? It's right through the nuclear waste. It's right through the religious practices, the social structures, all of our nutrition, doctors, everything.
Well, it's all just a complete disregard for human life and life on the planet, all of it. It's a complete, it's profit over people, profit over everything. That is the real issue, like the immediate gain right now. And you're too rich to prosecute, essentially, is what we're being told by the nuclear and the energy industry. They can do anything. I mean, literally, it looks like somebody, a journalist who was a Saudi Arabian who was living in the United States was allowed to get chopped up in public view. Who are they? They're an energy company. I mean, too rich to prosecute is what we're being told. Same thing with the nuclear industry. It is really outrageous that the workers at Hanford have to beg for safety gear. What?
It is, and it is also outrageous that the environmental standards that we stand behind are focusing on anything that comes from a cellular level is going to be labeled as an organic and not harmful. So therefore, they don't need to protect anybody. If you take, I can't think of what it is right now, but there's a product that they make out there right now that is resistant and it's durable and it's one of the, it's based off of the cellulose, and they mix that cellulose with sulfuric acid and it creates a compound, blah, blah, blah. Well, the people in China that are being exposed to this, one little sniff of this and it messes you up for life because it goes directly through your brain barrier and they're done. Now you look at the hydrocarbons. Now hydrocarbons are, I could go on for days about that and the legislation and everything that's out there and the impacts that we've seen and what we're not being seen, the direction that the industry seems to be going in. But the reason why they allow them to actually release all of the sewage and everything into the rivers is because they're looking at that like it comes from a natural source being people. Therefore, it can get released back into the environment. There is a lot of means behind their madness, of course, going after us and for saving them dollars, you know, so they don't have to treat and everything and they just shrug their shoulders and walk away. It's all good. But anything at a certain level in an unnatural area is a contamination, right? It is an invasive species. It is, if it is not naturally occurring there and it comes into an influx where it's going to inhibit that area, it's considered as a contaminant. So why is it that they consider sewage is a contaminant when they're releasing billions of liters of sewage into rivers that are killing out all the fish and everything? Whereas, you know, we drop a liter of oil on the ground and suddenly it's a $20,000 job.
This is the thing about all of it. It's a complete disregard. Like, this is how we started talking from nuclear to now. This whole thing is one big circle because it's not, it's like one big octopus with lots of tentacles and it's all one big, it's becoming abundantly clear because the disregard for life on all levels is very deep. I mean, we have, I don't live in Canada, but I know in America, we have homeless people on every corner in every city. We have children going to school who are homeless and they live their lives homeless. I mean, it is a really sad state of affairs here. And, you know, like, I think it's very, for me, all of them, they can do all of this. They are going to do it. And guess what? We're not stopped. The Space Force folks, that's my other thing that I've been reporting on. Space Force, it's happening. I know we only have a minute left, so.
Yeah.
We can talk about this another time, but guess what?
We're right down to the end of the show, you guys. I mean, yeah. it's all good. I haven't been able to get a word in edgewise, but it's all good. Listen, I got 1 minute left here. Lonnie, want to say a quick closing statement there? And Tina, one more quick closing statement.
Thank everybody for listening to me. You can follow me at The Age of Fission on Spreaker and on my YouTube channel, Nuts for Art, NutzForArt. And I say put your courage feet on, take some action, 8 minutes a day. Happiness is resistance and love is greater than fear. That's my mottos.
Good motto.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Lonnie. Yeah, and I would like to invite anybody to join me on Facebook. I just have my personal profile page right now. That's Tina Thomas. I believe I have a meme up right now as my photo that, you know, if the only way that we're going to fix things is if we band together. When it comes to any mottos that I have, I always say health is wealth and choice is freedom. So thank you very much for letting me join you too. And I look forward to the next time.
Been really great. Thanks, Barry, for the opportunity.
Well, thanks, ladies, for joining me today. And we'll do this again in the very near future, I assure you. I want to say thanks to People's Internet Radio for providing us this platform. And I want to say thanks to Steve Roberts for the work he does producing my show, guys. It's been a great show. I've enjoyed the couple hours. I hope people picked up some good information today. And I'll be back next week, the same time, same place. Really, when chaos unfolds in our society, guys, make sure you have a spiritual connection. To me, that is the most important thing in my life at this particular point. Without some kind of a base for my faith right now, I think I'd go insane. So say a little prayer every day and see what it does for yourself. Have a good week. God bless you all, and I'll see you next week, same time, same place. Bye for now.